It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
It is Election Day 2016. This is the day when you woke up this morning. This is the day that could actually change the future of America, at least on the short term. And I hope and I pray that you were praying this morning as you woke up. Many of you who are Christians make that your habit. You offer the day to God. You ask for his blessing. And I'm asking you, even no matter what you think about voting, no matter who you're thinking about voting, will you please ask God to have mercy on this nation? And so we begin. I have so many things to tell you. This is going to be a very important show in many ways. In the last segment, former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, will be joining us. And in the next segment coming up, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, will be joining us too. So it's going to be a blockbuster time of conversation with these men who have been on the front lines of this campaign to see what their last words are before we all head to the polls. But I have so much news. I'm going to try to deliver it to you as clearly as I can, but it will be quick. So here we go. Now, the polls are all over the place, so I'll just choose one. Fox News poll, this as of yesterday, says that Mrs. Clinton has a 4-point edge over Donald Trump. She is winning among women by 12 points, blacks by 85 points, Hispanics by 33, and voters under 30 by 16 points. That's a brief summation of the Fox poll, but I want to tell you some other breakdowns. According to CNN, and that's pretty remarkable, early voting data suggests that Clinton is lagging in North Carolina compared to 2012. It says if Hillary Clinton wins North Carolina, Donald Trump has to win every other competitive state to take the White House. Just 12 days ago, the New York Times poll had her leading by 7 points in North Carolina, and the CNN poll currently has her ahead by 4 points. But a CNN analysis of early voting paints a very different picture and suggests that Clinton has underperformed President Obama's 2012 performance in the Tar Heel State, and Trump has outperformed Mitt Romney. And it goes on. I'm not going to read any more of the numbers. I would just say that it looks as though black voters are not supporting her in North Carolina in the same numbers they supported Barack Obama in 2012. That's not too much of a surprise for any of us, I don't think. But it's actually turning out to not be the sure thing that I think the Clinton camp thought it was going to be. On the other hand, there's an article in the Daily Caller this morning that says an Elon University poll from September 19th. Okay, this writer is talking about Pat McCrory, the governor of North Carolina. Pat McCrory has been the lone voice in this country against transgender rights in regard to bathrooms. The whole issue of Target and all the things we talked about, they just simply said that, you know, you should go to the bathroom according to your assigned gender, your physical wiring and makeup. And it is, who would have thought that this could cause a governor, potentially his race, and a state so much of its economy? But here's the story and the stats. The Elon University poll from September 9th revealed that 49.5% of probable North Carolina voters are against House Bill 2, that's the bathroom bill, while 39.5% support it. 60% believe that the bill negatively impacted North Carolina's reputation. But moving down to what they're showing, it looks as though McCrory, he doubled down, you know, when the, I'm trying to do a couple things at once, too many things at once. When PayPal, you know, took out so many jobs, and when the basketball tournaments began to cancel, Governor McCrory courageously doubled down. You know, he didn't bend. And he said, you know, when we were raising the average teacher pay, creating new jobs and cutting taxes, other folks were actually pushing to make our schools allow boys to use the girls' locker room and showers. And that's been his point. So now he is in a fight of his life. The Quinnipiac poll from November 3rd to 6th shows that Cooper, the challenger, is at 50%, McCrory at 47%. A New York Times Siena poll finds Cooper at 47% and McCrory at 46%. I cannot overstate the importance of that race to Christians. I mean, who would have thought that we would ever be at this point? But this is what happened when we passed gay marriage. It's just been a flood. It's never going to stop. And this really is the front lines of stopping this. And it's taking place in North Carolina today as we speak. All right, so here's a really big shocker. I have not mentioned this race. In fact, in many ways, I have neglected the Senate races. You do know that there are Senate and House races all over the country. Please don't forget those. Because those, as aggravated as I get at leadership in the Senate and the House, let's just say we need to vote and vote smartly. But here's some interesting news. I have not discussed with you Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Daryl Glenn, just because I haven't, because I'm trying to cover everything. But he is a challenger in the U.S. Senate race in Colorado. He is a terrific conservative. He's such a terrific conservative that Mitch McConnell and the RNC abandoned him when he ran the primary. But now it looks like the RNC is now saying that this Senate race in Colorado, where the Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Daryl Glenn is the candidate, the conservative black candidate in Colorado, is in play. And he actually has a chance to win. That is something I don't think anybody saw. Not that he will, but it's possible. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And that's probably not on any of the prognostications in regard to whether the Senate will change hands to the Democrats or not. Here's an interesting piece. This comes from what's called Fausta Blog. It covers Hispanic concerns in Florida. That's about as good a description as I can give you. And let me read to you from this post. Cuban Americans who initially supported Mr. Obama's outreach are increasingly disillusioned with an administration strategy that helps the Castros but leaves out the Cuban people. This could affect turnout among left-of-center voters who care about human rights. It says the Obama policy also seems to be energizing greater numbers of conservative and independent Cuban Americans to rally behind the Republican candidate. And then it tells the polls, and I'm not going to break those down, just suffice it to say they have reason to believe the Cubans are going to go for Donald Trump. And you know that Florida really is the draw. That's the pivotal state. That is the most important state. It's got, 27 electoral votes, something like that. And so it's very important because the Electoral College, you know, if you look at the breakdown, I watched NBC News this morning early. It looks like a different map than the one Fox is showing. It's just, it really just is amazing what we're hearing from our media. And it is, but it's certainly true that Florida has so many electoral votes and could go either way. And so people are wondering what's going to happen. Also, here's from this blog, as far as the Puerto Ricans siding with Hillary. Remember, tens of thousands of Puerto Ricans have moved into Florida because of the economy in Puerto Rico. So there's been speculation that they are, for the most part, Democratic and they will go Hillary Clinton's way. But this is from someone who lives there. As far as Puerto Rican siding with Hillary, I've yet to find any. Instead, several Puerto Rican women are appalled that Hillary showed up with gangster mole Alicia Machado. That's the one that was the former candidate for Miss Universe. I think she won. You know, I should know that. Sorry. But she's the one who's been lambasting Donald Trump and the one that he said that she needed to lose weight. Okay, so Puerto Ricans are appalled because they view her as a gangster. And likewise with Venezuelans who are U.S. citizens. So anyway, there's more to that story, but I want to move on. Mrs. Clinton has canceled her fireworks celebration for tonight in New York. She was planning aerial detonations for her potential victory that would last for 2 minutes as early as 9:30 p.m., half hour after the polls closed in New York. That's been canceled, and no one seems to know exactly why. And last night, Donald Trump in New Hampshire, which is not a state that goes, you know, there was no way anybody expected New Hampshire to move into Donald Trump's column. And yet last night he announced that he now has the support of quarterback, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady and head coach Bill Belichick. And he read a letter that Belichick wrote, which was very powerful. He read it to the crowd of thousands last night. So I'm sure in New England that will have some import. And by the way, Mrs. Clinton was in Philadelphia last night. Pennsylvania, also a very important state, always blue, reliably blue. Mrs. Clinton, of course, not drawing the crowds that Donald Trump has in these last 30 days or so brought in the big guns. Last night in Philadelphia, she had Bruce Springsteen, John Bon Jovi, Lady Gaga, and Mr. and Mrs. Obama. And together with that help, she filled the Plaza. So, but Donald Trump, you know, is he fills the places anyway. You only know like within maybe half a day that he's going to come. And the word goes out and thousands of people are showing up. It's pretty amazing. Now, one practical bit of warning here. ISIS is continuing to threaten to kill Americans voting in this election. Let me read to you. They have a seven-page treatise that they're getting. It's called The Murtad Vote. Would-be attackers are advised to target the American voter with an argument suggesting that since voters are directly involved in the decision-making process by choosing... That's too wordy. I'm going to get down to the heart of what they're saying. It says, voters are charged with choosing delegates to represent them and their whims executively, judicially, and legislatively. The blood of Crusader voters is even more deserving of being spilled than the blood of Crusader combatants. There's no distinction between Republicans or Democrats, no exception for women or even Muslim voters. The essay concludes with a chilling sentence. May Allah make this year's U.S. presidential election a dreadful calamity like no other to have struck America throughout its pathetic history. All I can say is if you have a conceal and carry, you want to take it to the voting booth today and protect yourself and arm yourself, and it might be a bad news day for ISIS rather than for Americans. And so, all right. Oh, one other thing, she says. Well, another thing. This is amazing. WikiLeaks continues, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Now we know we have a traced here, email back and forth, as CNN colluded with the DNC on what questions to ask Trump and Cruz in the debate. Wolf Blitzer's involved in this. Producers are involved in this. They're trying to figure out, you know, how to take them down. And so you see them colluding to do that. Also, Dana Milbank, who, you know, those of us in D.C. know him well. He disrupted a Benghazi panel that we had at Heritage just about 2 years ago. Andy McCarthy was there, Brigitte Gabriel, and Dana was there and reported it. I was there in the audience, and Dana wrote this article that just painted the thing as some sort of a hate-filled rant. It was, you know, that's a lie, shall I say? Well, now we know that Dana's up to his ears in collusion with the DNC. He wrote an article called The 10 Plagues of Trump, where he talked about all the outrageous things said by Trump. But his source for that, he wrote to the DNC and asked them if they could just pass on their opposition research on Trump, because he's writing this, you know, this great piece, and he could use their help. And then there's all these email going back and forth with them helping him. Donna Brazile, you know, we thought she gave two debate questions to Hillary Clinton. Well, no, not just two. Now we know, as a result of more of these leaks, she gave not two, but at least five. And the Daily Caller traces the three more questions that she leaked to the Clinton campaign so that she could be, you know, have a heads up in the debate, unlike the other candidates, unlike Donald Trump, who just had to take them as they came, not knowing what to expect. And let me repeat, if I did not say this yesterday, in the first debate, which was CNBC, the questioner was John Harwood of CNBC. So now we have, according to from WikiLeaks, we have these questions from John Harwood to the DNC. What should I ask Jeb? He's asking him, you know, how to take Jeb down. All right, so then we have, just to remind you, I told you this one a couple of days ago. We know that here's the AP reporter to the Clinton campaign. We are preparing to report that the FBI has a thumb drive, but we can be steered away from that. We don't have to report that. Just let us know how we should handle that. The collusion is unbelievable. It is time for the American people to take back their country. It is time for us to clean up all the degradation and filth, the moral filth. It's time for us to clean out the newsrooms. It's time for us to clean out the Congress. It's time for us to clean out the White House and take our country back. I actually think it's possible, but not unless you vote and not unless you pray, and not in that order. Praying first, voting second, asking God to have mercy on our country, to whatever discipline we need, we take it happily, but to withhold his hand from judgment, to hear our prayers. Now, this is Sandy Rios in the Morning. Coming up next, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hey, I'm Mac Powell of Third Day. Each of us might have a friend, neighbor, or loved one who struggles with substance abuse, but there is a way out.
Hi, my name is Leslie. My diagnosis was severe nerve damage from the excessive amounts of alcohol. I was numb from the waist down. There was death or Teen Challenge, and I chose Teen Challenge and to live. I am alive, and I have never felt so amazing from the inside out because I have Jesus in my life.
If you or a loved one, whether a teen or an adult, is ready to end an addiction, Teen Challenge can help. You can call them toll-free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit them online at teenchallengeusa.com. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. I'm sure the historians and political scientists will have a field day analyzing what happened in this presidential race. It was indeed one for the history books, and I will offer my thoughts on the winners and losers at another time. But today, I want to address what I consider to be the most despicable part of this election, the mainstream media. If nothing else, they've been exposed for what they are, shills for the Democratic Party. The Fourth Estate has done a disservice to the American people, choosing sides in a presidential race, pretending to be fair and balanced when in fact they were anything but. WikiLeaks exposed much of the media's treachery. CNN dismissed concerns it had consulted with the DNC over questions to ask Donald Trump. They said such behavior is unremarkable. And that revelation, my friends, is quite remarkable. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Kurdish Peshmerga forces are claiming a big win over ISIS. They say they've gained full control over the strategic town of Bashika, 10 miles north of Mosul.
The battle is going very well, thank God. We have made big gains. The Peshmerga keep advancing.
ISIS had launched at least 5 car bombs at the Kurdish fighters. The Kurds claim they've captured or killed over 100 militants. U.S. airstrikes and special force operatives helping out. Residents had fled, but the town still has to be cleared of bombs. Meanwhile, in Mosul, the fight against ISIS intensifies. Iraqi troops waging urban warfare in the east. Casualties are soaring. An American medic volunteer can't believe it.
It's a huge urban environment. Imagine trying to go into Brooklyn or Charlotte, North Carolina. We have huge buildings. Now imagine every door, window, rock, hole. That kind of gunfire can come out of at any moment.
As the refugee outflow grows, 33,000 have fled already, and there will be more with the launching with local forces of a second parallel operation against the Syrian ISIS stronghold of Raqqa, as reported by U.S. officials.
The removal of the ISIL cancer from the so-called capital of their so-called caliphate is the next step in our military campaign plan.
And there is not a second to lose. Iraqi officials revealing today that they have found a mass grave south of Mosul with some 100 decapitated bodies. Decapitated, they say, at the hands of ISIS.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. I just want to remind you that there are men and women on the battlefield even as we speak. There is so much at stake in this election. There's an article this morning from the Business Insider recounting that we have lost six elite Green Berets in a 72-hour span just last week. And very little conversation about this. Three of them were killed when Jordanian security forces turned their guns, friendly fire, and killed three of our special forces. Our military is in chaos. There's another article that just came out yesterday about this brand new warship they've been bragging about now can't be functional because the rounds are now turning out to cost $800,000 each round. It's an impossible situation for our military, and no one knows this any better than our next guest. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn has joined us before. He's the former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he was also before that the commander of the Joint Functional Component Command for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance. And he has been working hard on the Trump campaign, and I know he is this morning. And so I appreciate your time, General Flynn. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sandy. Thanks for having me, and appreciate the time with all your listeners.
You know, you've been pretty. Every time I see a rally, I see you there. Like, you have you been by his side most of this campaign?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, I met with Donald Trump at the very beginning of his decision to go out and run for president, and I've been advising him ever since. And I really found the guy. You know, I will tell you, for all your listeners, you know, the first question that I asked him was, why did he want to be president? And he gave an answer that really struck a chord in my, you know, sort of deep in my heart, which he basically talked about how much he loved this country and how he saw it going in the wrong direction. And I totally agreed, you know, with him at that point in time. And I said, what do you want me to do? And we spent the next couple of hours talking about the world. And, you know, I just wanted to get a sense of how I saw things and what my impressions were of how we were doing around the world. And you know, as you just, you know, sort of described in the six great special forces soldiers that we just lost in the last week and a half, I mean, we're in a situation now where our country's sort of our leadership, the White House on down, Hillary couldn't include it because she's been part of this. We've lost our way, and we're not a country that's leading from the front anymore, and we must return to that, not only globally but right here at home. There's so much that we can do at home to re-energize and re-inspire a lot of America, and that's what Donald Trump is doing.
You know, General Flynn, I want to remind people that you were one of the few, maybe the only, trying to think. A lot of people in the defense, the broad category of defense, have spoken out, but later, mm-hmm. you know, after they're gone, they speak out, they write a book,
right,
whatever.
Right.
You, while you were active duty, testified before Congress, you really showed tremendous courage. And so with that being the backdrop, I think that your words have more credibility. So I want to ask you something. Do you think that we talk about the American military here on this show all the time. There are mm-hmm. military men and women listening all over the country to this show, General Flynn. And I guess the yeah. question is, do you think that America's military can be set right by a Trump administration? Do you believe that's possible?
Yes, absolutely. Now, you know, I will tell you, and I love our military. I miss serving in our military, and I wish I could have continued to serve. I was, you know, twice appointed by this president, and my whole belief system as a kid growing up, but also, you know, certainly in the military, was always truth to power. You know, you have to give your bosses your unvarnished, you know, assessment or judgment, and that's what I was always taught to do. That's what I always did. And you know, and I'm okay. I can look at myself in the mirror and say, you know, hey, I'm okay. My integrity is intact. That said, we have the best people in our country serving in our military, best men and women in the world. They are imaginative, they're creative, but they have to be given the resources to be able to do their job. They have to be able to give the, you know, the authorities and the permissions and all the stuff that comes with that, and just allow them to do the job that they're so capable of doing. But our political correctness in our country has grown to the point where, you know, we're worried more about diversity than defense. And that we cannot have in a world that is so complex. Trust me, Sandy, that there are enemies that we have in this world that would love to see our way of life go away. So when people think, oh, you know, everything's wonderful, it is wonderful when we are strong and nobody can, you know, come in and sort of take that away from us. We need our military. We need our military to be strong. Donald Trump has talked about, you know, growing our military and using it in smart ways rather than just throwing it around like we've seen, you know, in places like Libya as an example. I mean, God, I mean, that's a failed nation state right now, and we're going to be tied up in that for a long time. So to answer your question, yes, and we can do things. And Donald Trump has talked about rebuilding our Army, rebuilding our Navy, rebuilding our Air Force, rebuilding our Marine Corps, our great Marine Corps. Oh, my God. I mean, talk about an organization in this country that our nation has had to depend on from the very, very start of our country. We will keep our republic strong and our country strong if we keep our military strong. And right now, it's at the weakest level it has been since, in many cases, World War I. We cannot have that with all of the uncertainty that we face around the world today. So I actually look forward to having Donald Trump as the next commander-in-chief, because he will connect with the military. He will connect with our soldiers, and I use that term to describe all of our military. He'll connect with our soldiers in a way that this president and Hillary Clinton could never do.
General Flynn, you know better than I know how vast the military apparatus is. I mean, can I talk here about, you know, the Justice Department being turned around, which is a whole other issue, or, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency, or, you know, on and on, different agencies. The military is huge. The military complex is huge. And there are so many parts to this that have become so corrupted down to so many levels. You know, if you were to start, you know, Roto-Rootering, well, I don't know if you even want to say this. Let me ask it this way. There's always a transition team that are identifying people, personnel. Can the military, right, because of the way things transpire, can there be major changes made in personnel by a president?
Yes, and that, you know, and a couple of things. So, like in the Department of Defense, you know, you've got, of course, the four services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. You've got, you know, 16 agencies and activities within the department, as well as all kinds of other components of it that are sort of at a smaller level. But the number, or the most important word, you know, the most important word that Donald Trump is going to bring to government is accountability. People must be held accountable for their actions and for their decisions. And you know, and that includes myself. That includes any one of us. So if we do stupid things, we've got to be held accountable for those. If we make dumb decisions, and certainly if there's a level of corruption, which we have seen, and you just, you know, described, you know, politely, I mean, we have got to hold people accountable for their actions. And then the second big word that I would use that Donald Trump is bringing, and this is really where he inspires people, is leadership. People are looking for a leader to move us forward, to inspire us, to cause us to commit in a much broader way, in a much deeper way, to our country. That's what Donald Trump is all about. And it's this idea of leadership, this idea of accountability, it has to be brought back into our government. Our government at the federal level has become so corrupt, and there's just the lack of trust between the American public and its government is at an all-time low. We cannot have that. We cannot have that anymore. Oh, my God. I mean, our country, you know, it was built by a group of people who, you know, they may have argued here and there, but they trusted each other to do the right thing. And that's what we have to bring back to our federal government. And we need it right now.
You know, General Flynn, I actually remember when I was a kid, Democrats and Republicans arguing over things, but they still loved the country. You know, and I think that is what's missing. This is a battle between people who want really to totally, they call it the new America. New, all right. That's a nice positive spin, but it is not the America our founding fathers envisioned, and it's not the America that's good for the American people. It's the America that's good for them, because they are the elites.
Exactly.
I want to ask you about something else that's really near to my heart, and I know it is to yours too, and that's Benghazi. This is not new news, and yet it's being reported like new news, and that is that the State Department hired through the Blue Mountain Group, which was the, I'm not sure, but the
right,
security.
They were a contracted organization. I'm very familiar with this. I've known about this for a long time. It doesn't get enough play in the media. I mean, this is an outside group to conduct, and the way it's being reported and what we're seeing in all these emails and the things that I think has become, you know, very aware to the American public. There is a group that was doing something completely outside of the norm, completely outside of the law in this case, and running an organization inside of the Benghazi area where this was a militia force that was essentially traded out for what did exist, and the militia force turns out to be a group of thugs who basically were part of the attack on the Benghazi consulate that night, and Hillary Clinton was aware of all of this. Her State Department was aware of all of this. Now, you still have to ask, and she has never, not to this day, because I've talked to these families, she has never apologized to the families of the four who were killed, who were murdered by members of Al-Qaeda that night, and parts of this militia. She's never apologized for saying what she said to them, both at the memorial service that they had for them up in Dover, right after the bodies were brought back. Never, she's never done that. I mean, that's, to me, the characteristic of great leaders is the ability to be able to say, hey, I did something wrong, and I apologize for that. She's never done that. And what, the question still remains, what was she doing that evening? We know now that through her emails that she told her daughter it was a terrorist attack, but she didn't want to tell the American public. She didn't want to tell the families. I mean, please, your listeners, you have an easy choice here today. You have a very easy choice. This is about honesty, opportunity, and our future versus failure, dishonesty, and the past.
You know, on this Benghazi thing, I think to sort of try to make it clearer, Mrs. Clinton was, the State Department was begged for more security by Ambassador Stevens. Mm-hmm. We have that on record, official email records. He got nothing. There's a picture in the Fox News report this morning of these guards that were chosen by the State Department through Blue Mountain Group to guard him. They were terrorists. They hired terrorists to guard that compound. Rather than sending more security, the irony is they actually send terrorists to guard the compound. And that is, when they say she has experience, I want to do something physical in response to it. It's just amazing. All right, so General Flynn, what's the feeling inside the camp today? Are you guys optimistic?
Well, yeah, very, very optimistic. And we've been optimistic for a couple of weeks now, honestly. I mean, you know, we started to see some momentum shift about two and a half weeks ago, actually before the big bombshell of the FBI came out, which is just crazy, isn't it, in this election season. So we started to feel some momentum shifting. And as you've seen, Donald Trump, you know, he's given it his all over the country. And the last couple of days, you know, because we really saw some of the changes going on in places like Virginia, places like Michigan, places like Pennsylvania, places like New Hampshire and Maine, you know, states out west, Nevada, even New Mexico. I went to New Mexico with them on one particular stop, and there was like 10, 15,000 people showed up. So there's this, you know, what they call this blue wall that is impenetrable, and we saw it start to have a bunch of cracks, because there's a lot of people that just, they look at Hillary Clinton and they say, oh my God, we can't have more of the same of this. You know, I said this over a year and a half ago, Sandy, that you know, when I was asked, this is before I actually got together with Donald Trump, when I was asked, what do you think the country wants in our next president? I said, you know what they don't want? They don't want another Clinton or another Bush. And so far, I've been 50% right, and I think today we're going to find out that I'm 100% right, that Donald Trump becoming the next president of the United States.
Can you, in 30 seconds, address, 30 seconds really, ISIS threats today to voters that want to go vote? What would you? How should Americans prepare for that, General Flynn?
Yeah, I think everybody just needs to stay alert. That's all. Just make sure, you know, get out there and keep an eye on each other. And especially, you know, we know we have a problem here in this country. The FBI has already, you know, publicly stated it. Our Homeland Security folks have already stated it. Our law enforcement are ready. And people just need to be, you know, be alert and just pay attention. Okay. Take care of each other.
Lieutenant
That's
General
all.
Flynn, thank you so much, sir. Have a great day and hope to
thanks,
talk
Sandy.
To you soon. Okay, thanks a lot. Sandy Rios in the morning. Rudy Giuliani coming up next.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Do you know why you believe what you believe? Can you even explain your convictions to others? Lou Anne Crane here, inviting you to listen every day to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, where we'll help you make your faith your own.
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught?
Faith and family, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on this Christian radio station.
At 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on AFR Talk.
Come to 1MillionDads.com. Be strengthened as a Christian leader for your wife and children, your church, your community. We believe that missing fathers is what's wrong with this country. No longer should men be weak or ineffective. 1MillionDads.com is where we can learn and grow together as men of the cross. 1MillionDads.com. Lead or others will.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9th through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. This is the day on which the future direction of our country will be decided, arguably to an unprecedented degree and perhaps irreversibly so. In fact, this is your day, the one in which you and millions of people like you will make that decision. You may not be happy about your choices, but you still have to choose. I urge you to do so by making an affirmative choice for President of the United States, not by staying home. Think of it as your one chance to have a say in the course your country will follow that may well determine not only its future in some abstract way, it will probably affect yours and your children's and your children's children's in very concrete ways. So please, vote as though your life depends on it, because indeed it does. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Election Day 2016. You know that, right? You woke up knowing that. I don't know. Yesterday I had this sort of just edge all day. It was it's hard. And I really have to pray. You know, we have to be diligent. There's nothing wrong with being edgy. We have to, sometimes we worry about things. I know that there has to be a proportionate amount of worry, but there's legitimate worry and concern that motivates us. And so that's the balance. You do what you can do, and then you don't let it destroy the other activities of your life and your thoughts. But we have a responsibility today, and that is, of course, to vote. Rudy Giuliani will be joining us in just a second. And I want to go back to the ISIS threatening us today, they're asking for lone wolves to kill Americans who are voting. And I said in the segment before last, I suggested that those of you that have conceal and carry or are able to carry in your states, take them to the voting places. And it's come to my attention that that's actually illegal to take them in. And what you'll have to do is, my recommendation is that you check to see what the law actually states. I'm sure you can't strap it on and go into the booth, but you can probably, I'm sure you can take it in your car. I just don't know what the restrictions are, so make sure you know. And what Lieutenant General Flynn just said, you know, just watch, take care of each other. You know, I think that some of these lone wolf attacks could be prevented by just brave people stopping them. And so just be prepared. No, we are in a battle, in case you hadn't missed it. We are in a fight for our American lives. And so let's roll up our sleeves and be willing to fight and do our part. Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City. Many people attribute the cleanup of all the filth in the streets of New York to him in the 80s. Oh, that he were still mayor, but he isn't. But he joins us this morning from, I guess, New York City. Good morning, Mayor Giuliani.
How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. It's very nice to meet you, sir. I'm a fan. I have, you know, I've never met you, but it's really nice to have a conversation with you. You must be cringing to see what's happening with New York these days. It reminds you of your 80s before you...
I think, unfortunately, Mayor de Blasio has lost control over the quality of life in the city, and it is definitely deteriorating.
Yeah. All right. So you've been with the Trump campaign almost since the beginning. And have you been, like, by his side around the country at these rallies?
Well, for a good deal of the last 4 months, yes. The last week and a half, I more or less went off on my own so that I could cover places he couldn't. But from August until about 2 weeks ago, I was with him at almost every event, yes.
You know what? New Yorkers famously disdain him, and they've mocked him. I see, you know, headlines still that call him the Donald. I think that's disrespectful at this point in time. But New Yorkers are not, you know, lining up to support him. There's a certain amount of embarrassment, but not so with you. Why not?
Well, because I believe in him. I believe in what he stands for. I mean, he stands for all the things that I've fought for as a Republican all my life: lower taxes, less government, reducing regulations, having a much stronger military, approaching Islamic extremist terrorism in an aggressive rather than in the weak and defensive way Hillary and Obama do. So he has most of the core principles of what the Republican Party has been fighting for. And second, I know him for 28 years, and I know that he's a strong man, a good man, and somebody who gets done what he says he's going to do, which is very refreshing when he's running against a candidate who... Honestly, you never know when she's telling the truth or when she's lying to you.
Mayor, I don't think anybody has more knowledge and passion to fight the corruption of the Justice Department and the FBI than we've seen in this last few months. I have to tell you publicly, my husband is a retired FBI agent, and it's really painful for the members of that once great institution to see their director waffle the way he has and really sully their reputation. So I have to go to the heart of this. James Comey, of course, did his next, you know, iteration of now not prosecuting Hillary Clinton. And I would love to know your thoughts. Should he step aside? Has he any credibility left from your viewpoint?
Well, I mean, I think his first report did great harm to him. And after that, it's kind of been downhill. His first report laid out all the reasons why she should be prosecuted. And then came to the conclusion that he wasn't going to prosecute her. I mean, he laid out the fact that she knew that she set up these emails as private emails, that she lied about the State Department regulations, that she lied about how often she used them, that she lied about the fact that she had her husband use the email server personally for his own personal profit. Even the surface facts were facts that would lead at least to a conflict of interest prosecution. I mean, after all, she was supposed to keep the foundation and the State Department separate. She had at least two or three common employees of both the State Department and of the foundation, Huma Abedin being the biggest one. She was her chief aide, as well as one of the top people of the foundation. So how can you keep them separate when you have people under you working for both?
Yeah, and the inference there, of course, this is familiar territory for you, but we need to make clear. We've talked about this a lot, so Pete, my listeners know this, Mayor Giuliani, but that what they basically were doing was selling her influence as Secretary of State to foreign donors and making themselves personally wealthy. They sold America, basically, through this little scheme. But there's something else I really want to talk to you about. I really want to know, I guess probably the announcement by Comey in regard to this news story was the most distressing for me personally, and that is the reports of the New York City Police Department in investigating Anthony Weiner's laptop and discovering that 600,000 plus email came across these unbelievable transactions, almost unspeakable filth, really, of the involvement of the Clintons in allegedly visiting this island, pedophile island with Jeffrey Epstein. And then also that the FBI agent, the new NYPD, was so upset that the FBI got involved in this and they agreed, and that there's been a rebellion inside the FBI. So wanting to bring charges against the Clintons, not for what I just said, but all of it. That's just some egregious parts of it. And now when Comey made his announcement on Sunday, I found myself wondering, now does this mean that those FBI agents that stepped forward ended up not destroying evidence they were ordered to destroy by the Justice Department? Are they in jeopardy? Are they being threatened? What's going on?
Well, up until the revelation of the 650,000 additional emails on Anthony Weiner, the alleged sexual pervert, machine. She's basically contending that everything had been turned over, that Huma Abedin had signed an affidavit under oath saying everything was turned over. 650,000 emails is an awful lot of emails to have forgotten about. And also 650,000 emails, really hard to go through in a week to determine whether they contain incriminating evidence or not. So the FBI and the Justice Department by no means cover themselves in glory with this case. If you just look at the questioning by the FBI agent, you get a sense of a set-up interview. For example, she was asked did she remember her exit interview from the State Department, which is the interview given to you by the CIA, so you don't jeopardize national security information. She said because of her concussion, she couldn't remember it. Well, that's fine. But then the FBI agent should have asked the natural, normal questions. Why didn't you know that C meant confidential? She would have said, because she volunteered this, she thought it was some indication of alphabetical order. Then you would have asked her to point out an A or B, an F, an E, or a D on the form, which she couldn't have. And you'd have taken her back to her briefing, which was that A means the most top secret of all. And they were marked A. So there was a lot of mistakes in it that were made by a rookie agent or a rookie police officer, not by a skilled investigator.
All right, but back to that question I ask you. Are you avoiding that question, sir? You can if you want to. I just figure you probably know. Well, those New York Police Department officers have uncovered a lot of stuff. The FBI has, too.
Oh, I know if the New York City police officers uncovered it or the FBI?
No. My understanding from Joe DeGeneva and others is that there were FBI agents coming forward to speak about the garbage they're seeing that they feel are criminal acts, including a lot of other things, too. And then the FBI director announces on Sunday, suddenly, no charges. And my wondering is, will these rank-and-file policemen and FBI agents who were trying to speak out, are they in trouble?
Well, they could be. I mean, my information, I've tried to be pretty careful and make sure that it all comes from retired agents and basically their gossip and not any specific information. If an FBI agent wanted to come forward, they probably have to do it through an attorney as part of a whistleblower situation and have the protection of attorney-client privilege. But I think they did go about a period of time of trying to frighten the agents from saying anything by talking about investigating people and, you know,
yeah. Okay.
It's not a bureaucracy that can work. I mean,
Mayor, let me ask you about a couple.
Do I think the upper brass of the FBI and the Justice Department have something to worry about? I sure do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Loretta Lynch conducted herself as go down in history as one of the most corrupt, certainly unethical attorney general in history.
Mm.
Meeting with the president several days before the interview, an interview that looks like the agent wasn't seeking to get to the truth, just write down whatever Mrs. Clinton said, never followed up on scores of questions that you easily would have followed up on. When they asked, for example, to get the medical records that would corroborate the idea that she was in a state where she had a concussion and had no memory for a couple of days, they were told by the Justice Department or by Mr. Comey, I'm not sure which, that they couldn't pursue the medical information.
So the collusion continues. You know, there's a couple of stories this morning, further stories about Kadzik, you know, who is this buddy to Podesta, who was charged with overseeing the 600,000 email investigation. There's also an additional story about Clinton bundlers now. Also, we know now gave money to the wife of FBI's Andrew McCabe, who was the inside the FBI person in charge with investigating this. It's just an amazing story. Mr. Giuliani, are you guys optimistic there today?
Well, I'm very optimistic that Trump is going to win. I'm very saddened for the Justice Department and the FBI. I mean, putting McCabe in charge or number two or number three in the FBI has to be the height of irresponsibility and recklessness. Here's a man whose wife took over $500 million from McAuliffe and his henchmen. McAuliffe, remember, is the same guy. He might be a governor now, but I don't forget. He's the same guy who was selling the Lincoln bedroom in the first iteration of the Clintons, you know, their second group of scandals, I should say. Their first group of scandals goes back to Arkansas. Look, I think it's well known that I believe the Clintons are among the crookedest people in American history and have done a very good job of fooling the media and fooling people. I think going back to Arkansas, they were petty thieves. By selling out the state house while she was at the Rose Law Firm. I think when they got to the White House, they moved to pretty high-level thieves, you know, selling the Lincoln bedroom, selling the Mark Rich pardon. They got 20, 30 million for that one. So and then I think once they got their hands on the State Department, they realized they got the goose that laid the golden egg. And they squeezed every penny they could out of using her influence at the State Department in exchange for $1.5 million speaking fees from Bill, $30 million loans. And remember, you can't think of the Clinton Foundation as a charity. It's only the liberal media that thinks of it as a charity. Yeah,
the Federalist just...
General.
I had General Flynn on a few minutes ago. Mayor Giuliani... we're out of time, but we just appreciate your service to this nation in every way. You truly are America's mayor.
I just would like people to remember that the Clinton Foundation paid for Chelsea's wedding. And I'd like to know what charitable foundation pays for a wedding. And who's that crooked when they're worth millions that they don't pay for their own daughter's wedding? I mean, that indicates a level of crookedness that really turns your stomach.
I agree, sir. And listen, thanks for your time this morning. I look forward to meeting you in person. God
Thank
bless you.
You.
People
okay.
are praying everywhere, Mayor Giuliani. All right,
Thank
Sandy
you.
Rios
Thank
in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.